doing. And so if you guys got your Bibles, we've been in Psalm 139 looking at our series called Known. And today we're going to be in Psalm 96 verses 1 through 6. And we've been walking through a series really just titled Known, a series focusing on who God is, that God is ever present, that God is all knowing, that God is all powerful. And while he was all of those things, he is a God that knows us, and he's present, and he loves us, and he values us. He's not a God that's distant and disconnected and far away and unconcerned. We have that view of God sometimes, don't we? Just kind of like he's just this checked out guy, and he's gonna get involved when things get crazy. But he's a God that knows us. He searches us. He knows our every part of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our ways. He knows our travels. Church, he knows our secrets that no one else knows. He is a God that surrounds us and always has you and me on his mind. And being a God that he's great and mighty, but he's present, he's with us, right? It doesn't matter how far or how fast we go or how dark it is, our God is present. And we took the time to look that God created us. God took the time to knit us together in the womb. He values us and he loves us. Here's the reality, church. We are fully known by God. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we feel, and he's with us through it all. And because of that, because of who God is, and because of how he knows and values and loves us, church, we have to respond to that, right? We've got to respond to God and his love for us. And last week, we looked at some of the ways that we are to respond to him. We looked at a way that we respond to him by loving him, right? We're to respond by loving him. We're to respond to God by trusting in him and inviting God to search us and try us. He doesn't need our permission to do that, right? But it's nice to say, hey, God, I want you to do that. And we respond, church, by surrendering to him, surrendering our very lives to him. And this morning, we're going to continue in that idea of responding to God in our lives and see what that looks like. Church, when we see God and when we know him and we see who he is and what he's done, and we experience his love and his presence and his might and his power, we're made to respond to God, right? We're made to respond to God. We're made to be known by God. We're made to walk with him and to follow him. We're made to see him at work in our lives. And that leads us to surrender, to love, to glorify him, to worship him, to live for him. In church, because of who God is, and because he loves us and knows us, we're made to make him known. So when we've been talking about the last 3 weeks of who God is and that he knows us, we're fully known by God. Today we're going to look at making him known. And with that as our focus, would you guys join me? I already had you guys turn there, but in Psalm chapter 26, or 96. Psalm 96, this is a psalm that the Holy Spirit fully uses David to write this. It's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. And he uses David to write this. David was a man that loved God. He was a man that walked with God. He was a man that messed up, right, and sinned against God. But what did he do? He turned back and he repented towards God. In fact, you look at, I think it's Psalm 51, it's either 51 or 71. We see that prayer of repentance that David had. Man, he just lived that out. And so he's a man that walked with God. He was known. I love this about David. He's a man's man, right? This dude like slayed, you know, beast with his hands and with his tools. He killed a giant when no other soldiers would, right? But this guy is a guy that is not afraid to get out and dance in the streets and worship and sing to God, right? To express his love for him. And as you're turning there, it's Psalm 96. Anybody there already? Everybody's already there. Okay, never mind. So if you're already there, right, here's what's happening in Psalm 96. This particular psalm of David is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And King David is preparing a place for the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark was, just to kind of be short with this, we could spend weeks talking about the Ark, but the Ark was of extreme value and importance to their faith. In short, it represents the presence of God. It represented their faith, and it had not been in its proper place. And we see in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1, you guys can see it up here. 1 Chronicles, there we go. It says, they brought the Ark of God and placed it inside the tent David had pitched for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings in God's presence. And then in that same chapter, in verses 8 through 36, we see David write a psalm of thanksgiving. And part of that is found in Psalm 96, where we're going to be at today. So that's what's happened. David had wrote this in 1 Chronicles, and he spoke in 1 Chronicles, and now here we are. It's been put into Psalm 96 for us to read. And so as we read this, David is just in awe of who God is and what God has done. You guys ever do that? Just sit back and see what God has done in your life? That's where David's at. He's got this moment, this celebratory moment. He's just in awe of who God is. And he's reminding us who God is, and he's leading the people of God to respond to worship and to give thanks. This is a cool reality. The God that spoke this universe into creation out of nothing. The God that knit you together. The God that is sovereign and over all. He knows you personally. He's ever present. He values us. He loves us. And we know that his love sent Jesus to the cross to die for you and for me. He lived a perfect life. Jesus did. But he died a sinner's death in our place to pay our penalty. And he offers us forgiveness and eternal life with him. And church, that forces us to respond. And we're going to see today that we have a responsibility to respond to God, to worship him, and to make him known. Would you guys stand with me real quick as we read Psalm 96, just to honor God and his word? And follow along as I read Psalm 96, verse 1 through 6. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all the gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Let's pray this morning. God, as we spend time in your word this morning, God, we pray, Lord, that we would hear what you have for us in these six verses. And God, we would trust you in what the word of God says and how we're to respond to you. We've all got things going on in our lives. God, we pray, Lord, that we would give those to you this morning and not be distracted, but to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Any Royals or any baseball fans here? Two of you. Okay. Or three of you. You guys need Jesus. All right. Being from Kansas City, I'm joking. Being from Kansas City, I've been a Royals fan, Kansas City Royals fan my whole life. 1985 I was 4 years old, and the Royals won the World Series. And then it wasn't until 2014 that the Royals had a great year. They made it to the playoffs, all the way to the World Series. They ended up losing that year in the World Series, but their slogan and what they said the next year was they had unfinished business, right? They wanted to get back at it. They didn't want to just get to the series. They wanted to win it. 2015, again, the Royals won their division. They went to the playoffs. They made it to the World Series, and out of best of seven, in just five games, they won the World Series. Right? And if you were to look at my social media page, or you were to look at any other people's social media page, or listen to any other annoying Kansas City fan, man, you would have heard us talking and posting and just celebrating the Royals that they won the World Series. We'd be celebrating, we would be talking about stats, we'd be sharing pictures, sharing great plays, talking about the players. And is that the first picture, Kevin? All right, so what you have here is there was a parade in Kansas City, Missouri, where over 800,000 people showed up to celebrate this. So this is just one picture of it. Go ahead. Here's another picture of just of the gathering where they were at, going all the way down to the memorial down there. And then this is like an overview of this thing. Man, just blue and white, right? And so they gathered for this, and it was a moment that the fans were glad to be a part of, right? They just wanted the whole world to know. Maybe nobody else wanted to know about the World Series, right, and the Royals winning it, but Kansas City wanted everyone to know that, and they wanted to share it with the whole world. That's what we do as people, right? When something amazing or awesome or fun happens in our life, we want to tell everybody. That's what we do. When someone does something special for us or something special in their life, or when a person accomplishes something, we want to tell everybody. Like Jessica graduated with her master's in education, right? And so, man, we just want to tell everybody about it. Like, you just celebrate those things. We were made to do that. A lot of times in our lives, when something special happens, we sing songs, right? We celebrate. We rejoice. And that's what we see David doing here, and that's what we're called to do, but on a much bigger level when it comes to God and who He is. In church, I think if we were honest, many of us struggle with this. We celebrate, and we talk about our sports teams winning, right? We get excited when a new product comes out, or a new game comes out, or a new line of jewelry, or new makeup comes out. Man, I don't know what's going on with Facebook. Every time I turn on Facebook, somebody's doing a live video of how to put on makeup. I don't put on makeup. Like, I don't need that, right? But they get excited when those things come out. Did I just offend somebody? Are we okay? All right. We wear our political t-shirts, don't we? Man, because we want people to know about what we're excited about. We talk about it. We get excited and we talk and we sing when it comes to our country. Right? Maybe there's a military victory, or it's the 4th of July, or some other victorious moment in the United States, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But there's something wrong when those moments get more praise out of the life of a believer, out of the life of a Christian, than God does. There's something wrong. Notice this picture. This is a newspaper, and can you guys see what it says there? It says, "A City United." City United. Church, people took off time from work for this, right? Sick days, vacation days. They faced a crowd. It was said that some of these people walked about 10 miles to get to where they wanted to be at for this celebration. To be united over a baseball team. Now, don't get me wrong. I was here. I would have loved to have been there, right, during that moment. No doubt about it. But oh, how much more should we get excited and sing and rejoice and sacrifice and walk through struggles and tell others about who God is and what He's done and what He's doing in our lives. Church, let's be in awe of God. Right? Remember our response to God. We looked at that last week, and what He's done and what He's doing is to respond by loving Him, by trusting Him, and to surrender to Him. And now David is saying we're also to rejoice and to make Him known. And David lays out for us what our response should be when we know and love God and we see all that He's done. And so let's not forget, this passage is written fully inspired by God. It's God-breathed. He uses David to write it. But notice, we're reading this out of the Psalm. This is before Jesus came and before Jesus died and before Jesus rose again. These people are still looking forward to that moment. Are you hearing me? They're looking forward to that moment. For us today, it's already happened, right? It's already happened. And with that in mind, we have every reason to respond properly to God. So let's get a little reminder of how we need to, or why we can respond properly to God. Romans 6 reminds us that we were spiritually dead and eternally dead. Here's the reality. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are spiritually and eternally dead. You are chained to your sin. You are destined for a place called hell. Right? Romans 6 reminds us that we are spiritually dead and eternally dead. But when we trust in Christ and we give Jesus our life, we are made alive in Christ. John 1, we see that we were all separated from God. We were far from God. Verse 12 says this, "But to all who did receive Him." You've trusted in Jesus. You believed in Him. You've received His gospel. He, Jesus, gives you the right to be children of God. To those who believe in His name. Far from God, children of God. In correlation with National Adoption Month, Jesus and the gospel is the best picture of adoption. Romans 8:15 tells us that when we're saved, we're fully adopted into the family of God. And we get to call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. Doesn't get more intimate than that. It wasn't, church, just listen. It wasn't that you were just okay and now you're a little better if you have Jesus. It isn't that you're doing all right on your own, but now you're going to rock it a little bit because you've got God on your side. That's not it. No, without God, you are guilty of your sin. You're destined for hell with no relationship with the God that created us, and we're chained to our sin. We were dead. If you're here today and you aren't a follower of Jesus, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you've not been saved, this is why He came. Jesus came to make us, take us from being dead to alive, from being separated to adopted. Will you trust in Jesus today? Because it's because of God's love and mercy and grace that if we trust in Jesus, if we call on the name of Lord Jesus, He makes us alive, church. He saves us and He forgives us. He makes you new. He adopts you. He seals you. He makes you a child of God. And that gives you a new song to sing. I'm going to be honest with you. As I was writing all of that out and I was reading it, I'm going to be honest. I was expecting a little bit more of this. Praise God! Amen! Church, we were dead! Unforgiven, bound for hell. And Jesus says, I got you. We have every reason to respond to Him. Amen, Pastor Jeff. I'll take it. That gives us a new song to sing. And so when we read what David is saying, we're reading what our proper response to be, to worship and praise God and to make Him known. And David begins by saying this. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. We just sang that song, didn't we? Sing, sing, sing. He repeats it three times. David calls on the people that were present, and the Bible calls on us, if you are saved, to sing a new song. Singing a new song. This phrase is repeated multiple times throughout Scripture. There's a few of them if you're interested. Psalm chapter 33, verse 3. Right here in Psalm 96. Psalm 144, 9, and in Psalm 149, 1, they were to sing a new song. And they're all in reference to God and victory in God and His salvation. Because of God, we can sing a new song. He is God, church, right? He is good. He's the victor. He's over all. And in Him alone is our salvation. You go all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelations chapter 5 and 14. Revelations 5, 9, John is writing about the day that we're all with Christ for eternity and we're all gathered before Jesus and we're before the throne of heaven, and it says that we will sing a new song. And this is singing of God and His salvation for us and delivering us. Revelations 14, 3, we're singing a new song before the throne. And when we sing of God this new song, it's a song, church, that comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. Deuteronomy 6. We read of the commandments from God. And then in verse 4 it says, listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's saying there's one God. Right? One God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love Him with all you are, right? And then He says, these words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Once they're in your heart, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and of your city gates. The greatest command, church, if we know Jesus, is to love the Lord your God with all you are. It doesn't say just to memorize it. It doesn't say to be religious. It's not some form of a rule. It says it's to be in your heart. It's real. It needs to be at the core of who you are. It's a real and true response to who God is. And notice in this passage what happens next. It says, love the Lord your God with all you are. And then it says it's to be in your heart. And then one, once it's in your heart, moms and dads, tell your children. Everybody, talk about it in your home, and when you're out and about, put it on a sign, write it. It's a message that comes from your heart. Ephesians 5:19, it tells us that when we're together, we're to be singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So when we sing this new song, it's from the heart. We've experienced God. We know Him. We've been known and loved by Him. And our response is to sing from the heart. And there's three sings. Sing a new song and then sing to the Lord, all the earth. We know that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person will recognize, whether they did it here or not, that God is God and Jesus. Are you with me, church? Man, we're going to recognize this. But this phrase repeated throughout Scripture, it's telling us that God deserves praises and songs of worship, not just from you, but from all the earth. We saw from Revelation, we're all going to get together and sing. Start practicing now. Man. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Bless or praise His name in song. Church, when we sing like this, we're singing praises to whoever or whatever has our heart. To sing and worship and praise to God is a heart issue. It's not a confident issue. It's not a good voice or bad voice issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart and it's a worship issue. And if God has our hearts, we must sing praises to Him. David is in God's presence. He felt God's love. He knows God and he sings. You go back to 1 Chronicles where this is from, when the ark is placed and it's where it's supposed to be. And David's getting all sorts of excited. And it says this, that David was seen leaping and celebrating. Are you with me, church? Man, this is a man's man. So, man, we got no excuse, man. Let's leap and celebrate and sing. Do we see His greatness? Do we love Him with all of our heart? And will we rejoice and sing to the Lord and bless His name? Will it come from your heart and then from your lips? This new song is for us to sing personally to God, but it's universal. We get to come together and sing to Him. And so our response to God is to have a heart of worship and to sing and praise His name. If you've got your bulletins, you can write those on the back. There's nothing pre-filled out there for you, but you guys are adults. We can write those in today, right? Have a heart of worship and sing and praise His name. David says in verse 2, he says, sing to the Lord, bless His name. And then he says, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. When he says proclaim, that word means to give testimony. It means to bear news. It means to be a messenger and to publish something. So David says proclaim. What are we proclaiming? Good tidings of His salvation. When we know God and when we experience His love and we see His greatness and when we know of and have experience of His salvation in our life, when we are saved, church, we must tell others. We must tell others. We must give testimony of what Jesus has done. We must be the messenger to others to tell them the good news, and we must write of it, publish it. Whatever it takes to get it out there. Without God's love, without Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we are lost, we're chained to our sin, we're bound from hell, we're separated from God. But it's His victory, it's His forgiveness, it's His sacrifice, it's His love that makes salvation and victory possible. And so, church, we must proclaim it. Let's have a moment of honesty here. If we're honest, most of us have no problem proclaiming when our team wins. We have no problem proclaiming a political candidate win. We have no problem when we have some sort of personal accomplishment proclaiming it. But if we're still honest, we lack in proclaiming God and Christ and His salvation, which is the greatest victory of all time. And again, proclaiming it and sharing it and singing it, right? It's like singing. It comes from your mouth, but it first comes from your heart. If it's real, if it's in you, it must come out of you. You must proclaim it. So that others can know the love and salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ. And notice he doesn't say this. He doesn't say, hey guys, proclaim it at Christmas time. Proclaim it at Easter. Proclaim it when your church has an event. He says, tell others day to day. When we look at our day to day, when we look at our schedule and where we are each and every day, church, God's in charge. He's sovereign, right? You are where you are. You're here today on purpose. You live where you live. You work where you work. You play where you play. You do all of those things because that's where God has placed you. And so when you're at home, tell your family. Talk about the salvation of God. Talk about Jesus, right? When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at your kid's ball game, when you're on social media, when you're playing your little video games where you can chat with people, tell people about Jesus. Tell your neighbors, proclaim the good news of His salvation day to day. Jesus commissions us to do this very thing. Jesus says, be my witnesses. Tell others about me and who I am and what I did and why they need me. Tell others, right? Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Tell others about Jesus and His salvation. Tell others that Jesus came and He died and He rose from them so they could be saved from their sins, so they could be free from the bondage of sin, right? And so they could sing a new song with you. I don't know whoever came up with this dumb phrase that religion and politics you shouldn't talk about. We should talk about Jesus, church. Are we getting a little excited? Am I up here by myself? Man. Where are we at? So we respond to who God is by having a heart of worship, by singing and praising His name, and by proclaiming or telling others of His salvation. It comes from the heart. Church, if you're struggling with telling others about Christ, maybe take your heart to the Lord and confess that to Him. Be reminded of His greatness. Be reminded of His salvation. Be reminded of who you were before Him and where you are now. Be reminded of the sacrifice for you on the cross and get excited again that He rose again. Proclaim day to day of His salvation. Church, you guys have the gifts that you have so you can do the jobs that you do, so that you can be around people that God has put you around, so you can tell them about Jesus. Verse 3. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the people. When David says tell, it's a word that means to recount, to retell, and to declare. My wife loves it when I come home from work because I usually recount my entire day with her. That's her favorite part of the day, when I come home and tell her everything that has happened throughout my day. Amen? No, we do that, don't we? We tell people about the things that are going on in our life. When David says recount and tell, he says tell others of His glory. Right? Not just a few close people. He says tell the nations. Tell the nations. We're to speak of God's reputation. We're to speak of His riches. We're to speak of His abundance. We're to speak of His deeds. And we're to tell it to the nations. And here's the crazy part. That word nations, it refers to all people groups. We think of nations, we think of countries, right? That's kind of what we do. This is saying, man, this is people groups. We're all Americans, right? But there are a lot of people groups. Even here, there's people groups, right? Tell all the nations. Tell all the people groups. Tell them of His glory. Not our glory, but His. Tell of His deeds, His wonderful deeds. Men, if it's on your wife's birthday or anniversary, I like to find like the perfect card. But a card never says it right. I will go through 400 cards to make sure I get the right card. I'm not going to do it. I was going to say, how many men just go and grab the first one that says happy anniversary? But I won't have you raise your hand. We have to do marital counseling. But, right, I try to find like that perfect card for her. And it's got to have a blank side inside of it. It's got to have a blank side so that I can remember and recount and tell her of the things I love about her. The little things and big things in her life that she has done. When we see all that God has done, when we read of or we see His wonderful deeds, not just in not my life, but throughout the world, not just in your life, but all around us, when we see it throughout history, and we remember those, and we tell others about it. We declare, we recount, we tell others of His glory. what has God done in your life? What has God done in your family's life? What has He done in our church? What has He done in our community? What has He done in China and Korea and India and Mexico? Tell of the difference that God, that Jesus has made in your life. I got a couple messages this past week, and one was telling me this. They were telling me that they were praising God each day that they have breath. It's a great thing to praise God for. I got another message from a very happy dad because his son surrendered his life to Jesus and asked Jesus to save him. And they were telling me this. They were telling of what God has done. My friend doesn't take the glory for the breath that he was taking every day. He was giving God the glory for something as simple as a breath. The dad wasn't taking the glory for his son being saved. He gives all the glory to Jesus. Tell others about who God is and what He's done in your life. If you have social media, the world knows how you feel about a lot of things. But do they know? Do they hear you tell of the glory of God? Do your neighbors, they know your political stance, they know who you root for, they see the flags hanging up, do they know, do they hear you tell of the glory of God? For the past 3 weeks, we were talking about God and being known by Him. The God that created all things, that rules over all things. He knows you personally. He's ever present. He values you. He loves you. And when we realize that, and we realize, we see it and we realize that we give God all the glory for that, we should tell others that this is who God is. David helps us a little bit of who God is and why we proclaim. In verses 4 through 6, he's proclaiming His glory. He says this, "Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the people." Here's what he says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." He's to be feared above all gods. "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." I love what David does here. He declares His greatness and that He is to be praised. And then David says he's to be feared. He's to be respected and honored and revered above all gods. Just like today, David was surrounded by false teaching and false gods, right? And by all idols. And he's declaring that even if there are other gods, even if those were real, the one true God is above all. And I like this. And then he says this, "For all the gods of the people are idols." David uses this phrase here to point something out really important. He says that all the other gods of the people are idols. Here's what that word idol means. Elio. That's the word, elio. And elio means this. It means that they are good for nothing. It means they are false, and it means that they are worthless. "For all the gods of the people," talking about the idols, "are good for nothing, false and worthless idols." He's saying God is the one true God, and the other false gods are just idols. They have no value. They're worthless. They've done nothing to tell others about. But David says, "But the Lord made the heavens." God, our Lord, has created all things. He is a God of splendor and majesty. His strength and beauty are part of who He is. And we must see it, right? We must see what He's done. We must see who He is, and we must tell others what He's done. Our response to God is to have a heart of worship, to sing and to praise His name, to proclaim His salvation, and it's to tell of His glory. Tell the world of His glory. Tell the world of His worth and His value. Tell the world, tell your neighbor, tell your kids about God and who He is and what He's done. Tell them about how Jesus changed your life. This passage is often referred to, it's been referred to this as years, as the missionary hymn. Why? Because it's all about knowing God and making Him known to the nations. And how do we go and how do we make Him known? It starts here in our hearts. We worship and we sing from the heart. And then we proclaim His victory and we proclaim His salvation. We tell others, we tell them this, that we were dead, that we were lost, that we were chained, that we were broken, that we were bound for hell. And then we tell them now because of Christ, because I've been saved, that we're alive, right? That we're found, we're free, we're part of the family of God. We're going to be in heaven with Him forever. Church, the Creator, the Lord, the Master, the Greatest, the Most High. He's so good and He loves you, He values you, and He died for you. He defeated death, hell, and the grave for you. We have every reason to sing. So let's act like it, amen? Man, we have every reason to tell others about His salvation. So let's pray and ask God for opportunities to tell others about Jesus. We have every reason to tell of His glory. So we've got to see God at work and make sure the world knows who God is and what He's done. Let's be a church that worships. Church, let's be a church that, let's make it look like it doesn't hurt to sing to God. Okay? Are you with me, church? Come on, y'all. Man, we're singing to the Creator of all things that saved your butts from hell, okay? I think we can do a little bit more of this and a little bit more of this. Amen, church? Like, let's act like we're ready to sing to Him. We're celebrating and praising the King of kings and Lord of lords and the Savior and the One who saved us eternally when we deserve nothing. Let's sing. And when we tell others, let them know it's real. We believe it. It's in our heart, right? And others will want what we have. Let's invite others to see what God is doing, to see Him at work in this faith family. Let's worship and sing and proclaim and tell and live in a way that He receives all the glory. Let's pray. Father.